So you had a great idea about three songs that you loved.
Yes, I have my list. No, so let's try that again.
Okay.
Strike that. Three songs that you love to listen to in the kitchen when you're cooking.
Yes. And I came up with three things. None of them are songs. I did
Great.
It wrong.
Thank you for doing what I've asked you to do for this episode today.
Back, ladies, you are listening to the Struggle Well Project podcast, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember that you are already enough. So I don't know about you guys, but in Texas, we went from like 80s right down to the 40s and constant rain. It feels like Christmas. And also I'm super dramatic because I've never lived in that difficult of a cold climate. So this to me is really hard times, you guys. But along with the really fast change to cold weather, I've had to transition my son, who really does not like to wear long pants, into long pants overnight. And it has been the source of so many meltdowns in my house. I can't find a pair of pants that he is interested in wearing. So like this morning, for example, I had to put pants on him. He's screaming about that, snotting all over his shirt. And the dog had eaten something that made her tummy uncomfortable. And so she's just walking around the kitchen throwing up while he's screaming about pants. You guys, the struggle is real. So anyway, a second ago you heard my sister and I and how she had an idea. And I kind of did a form of the idea, but not really. Stop it, you guys. All of you little sisters out there, don't be mad. I'm the big sister. I feel like I'm sure I've got a better way, even if I really don't. But anyway, Katie and I make extra special content for Patreon people. So get on that train if you aren't already. Head to patreon.com/strugglewellproject and you can get immediate access to all the shows we've released up to this point. I did want to say a special thank you to Emily Stovesand and Emily Trader. They're the Patreon Emilies and we really appreciate you guys. I think it goes without saying that you're my favorites. The rest of you whose names are not Emily, that's kind of on you. Okay, so last Monday I talked to Haley Morgan, and she told us about what we should do when bad news comes our way and what she does to help her adolescent boys open up and start talking to her. Oh, and we also talked about how pivots are not failures, which my heart personally needed to hear. So circle back and download episode 156 if you missed that one. Now, this episode today, I'm talking to Amanda Bible Williams. She is one of the founders of She Reads Truth. She's in one of those crazy seasons of adopting a child from overseas, plus renovating a new house that they're not moved into yet, plus school starting, plus a major surgery for her youngest kiddo. All these things are happening right before the holiday season. What? So we talk about how she's struggling well through all that, and we also talk about She Reads Truth, which I personally love. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Good morning, Amanda. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Are your kids at school?
They are. All four of them today are at school.
Is that beautiful?
It is beautiful. It's good. It takes a lot of effort to get them there currently, but it is nice to know that they're there and that they're learning from responsible adults.
It's good. Yes. You know, it's funny. It does not take me a lot of effort to get my kids out the door, and that makes me wonder if I'm missing something major. They do look...
Yeah.
They look a little disheveled, I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's not a grooming situation so much as just a delivering them to the school situation, because we're currently suspended between two worlds, two cities right now.
Okay.
And because we are moving into a house that is not yet ready, so we are driving. We are commuting our children to their future school district.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's about an hour. And everyone's drop-off time is different by about an hour.
So what do you do in the meantime?
I mean, we just hang out. So my daughter is first. Her bus comes first at like a little after 7. And then my older boys, if it's just the three of us, like if our little guy is not going to school that day, then the older boys and I will go to either Starbucks or Einstein Brothers Bagels. Okay. And we will kill time for about an hour. And then we will go catch their bus. And if our littlest is with us, then we either drop him off during that time or he joins us for the Starbucks run, much to his delight, because that's his favorite.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about all that. So you have four kids and a husband, a set of twins.
Included in the four kids. Yes,
including the four kids, thankfully. And your new son, you recently adopted him. I've loved seeing all of that unfold.
It's been surreal to live it. But yeah, so he's been with us for almost 2 months. Let's see, we've been home exactly 2 months. Oh, I'm losing track of time.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so from China, is that accurate?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. And so he maybe likes, I know in China, Starbucks is Xinba Ke. I just remember.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, I lived in China for a while, and that I got the real necessities down. I can count to 10 and I can say, where's the Starbucks?
That's really all you need. Maybe a bathroom, but other than that.
I know. But he might have had Starbucks in China, did he?
Oh, he definitely did, because the home where he lived, he lived in a group foster home, an amazing place called Morningstar Foundation, and happens to be run by a dear friend of mine. She's now a dear friend.
Is her name Meredith?
Meredith Turing, yes. He was the oldest kid in the home when he was there. And so he would get some special trips with Meredith because he was the older kid. And so they would go to Starbucks. It was sort of their thing. And so it was very sweet that, like, now, you know, he gets to do that here. And he does say Starbucks in English now, which is exciting.
There you go. Because I lived in very, very rural China, and I would go on an overnight train ride just to get to a Starbucks, just because the chairs were the same, the tile was the same, the music was the same. And I could feel like a person who I knew for a minute.
Right. Right. We were only there 16 days and we did that. So I can imagine that if we were living there and in a rural area to boot, that we would be there often. And I think that she does that as well. Like, when she really needs a taste, pardon the pun, of home, she goes to Starbucks.
But. Okay. I want to say a special thank you to Perfect Keto for being one of the new sponsors of the Struggle Well Project. Whether you are following a ketogenic diet or not, Perfect Keto has some great products I'd love for you to consider. The company graciously sent me probably 9 different products to try, and my husband, who is following a keto diet, loves every single one of them. They have so many different products, and they all taste great. Just ask my husband, he raves about them. Personally, I am all over their nut butter. It's macadamia, cashew, and coconut, all blended together in a butter. It's amazing. Okay, so Perfect Keto wants to give you a chance to try their products for 20% off. You just need to go to perfectketo.com/SWP and use coupon code SWP. So again, that's perfectketo.com. That's perfectketo.com/SWP for 20% off your order. And then use coupon code SWP at checkout. Okay, so let's talk about... I have so many things that I want to talk about. Let's talk about, we're already on adoption, so let's talk about that. How is that adoption changing the dynamics with your 3 bio kids?
That's a great question. You know, I know that every adoption is different. Every kid is different. So our experience has been that our kids, so our adopted son is 4, almost 5, like he's like 4 and a half. And our twin boys are 8, almost 9, and our daughter is 11. So there's, you know, a good like 4-year gap between him and the boys, and then 7 between him and the girls, and him and the girl, just one girl. So I'll speak of them kind of differently. Like, she has turned on mom mode. Mm. She helps take care of him. Like, the dynamic, I've been surprised how different the dynamic is between her and her new little brother, how different it is between the two of them than it is between her and her twin brothers, because they are closer to her in age. There are 2 of them and they are a force. Like, they are always picking on each other and they play rough all the time. They do like to read. So there are moments of quiet, but few moments of quiet. And so she's annoyed. And I get it. I get it. But with our youngest son, she's very patient and attentive, and she just helps him. So that's been one thing that I've been surprised at, is just the dynamic between the two of them. I mean, I'd hoped that it would be that way, but it really has exceeded just my wildest dreams and how well they get along. Now, the boys also, like, they love having a little brother, and he loves having big siblings. Like, he's just been preparing for this, and he has known for a long time that he had two big brothers and one big sister and, you know, two dogs and a cat and seven chickens. Like, he knew all the things before he got here. And so he was ready. And it's for the most part, it's been really, really sweet. It has been for me as a parent and for my husband, I think I can say this on his behalf as well. It's obviously been really challenging because I feel like with every new phase of family. So, you know, my daughter was first. And so for 2.5 years, it was the three of us. Mm-hmm. And that was such a sweet season. And when I was pregnant with her brothers and it was, you know, coming close to time for them to be born, like, I sort of mourned the end of that season, not because I wasn't happy that they were coming, but because that was really special. And then with the five of us before Toby came along, there was a time where the kids were like, we would ask them how they felt, because we learned, you know, pretty early in the process, not to say like, are you happy about the adoption? Are you excited about it? But to say, how do you feel?
Yeah, that's good.
Because happy and excited was not what their answers were, right? Like, they would say things like, I want him to be part of our family, but I'm afraid of, or I'm a little bit worried or a little bit sad that it won't be the way it's been. And I think that's right. Mm-hmm. So there was sort of a shift that happened before he came, where they just realized, like, okay, the way we've known life as the five of us is going to, just as if it would if we were having a biological baby, it's about to shift. And then when he did come, I think there have been challenges. And I mean, some really basic things, like a lot of people in the bathroom at one time, you know, more people at the dinner table, just different things, like more people in the car, like just different things where life is just fundamentally different, mm-hmm. logistically different. But then it's also been just a surprise after surprise in a delighting way. Like, oh, like, we didn't expect him to be funny. It's like you forget that they're coming in with a personality.
Yeah.
So here's this 4-year-old and he's hilarious. And even before he could speak any English, he knew what it meant to, like, make a joke. And so I think in the same way that, like, it's so fun, like when my husband and I, when we had our first child, it was so fun to watch my husband become a dad mm-hmm. and for him to watch me become a mom. It's been so fun to watch Toby become a little brother and to watch the big kids, you know, become, you know, she was already a big sister, but to be a big sister to a little brother and for them to become big brother. It just, I think part of the reason that I'm rambling about this is that we are so in the thick of it right now, like in the midst of it, that I've had very few moments where I've actually pulled back and looked at our family and gone, oh, this is all so different. We've just been navigating the differences, you know?
Yes.
But there have been some moments where David, my husband, and I have just looked at each other and gone, like, there are four of them now.
Hmm. Yeah.
And even, you know, and so it's been the macro change of, like, oh my gosh, there are so many of us at the dinner table, or when we go out to eat, like, wow, we need the big table, or, you know, down to just the tiny logistics of life, that everything shifts to make room for this new person.
Well, okay. So on top of that, moving, what?
Yep. Okay. So I'm not sure how this all happened the way that it has gone down, but 2018 has become just the year of insanity. Like, we just keep it telling each other. My husband keeps saying to me, because when I become super overwhelmed, which I kind of live overwhelmed, like, that's sort of part of my MO.
Okay.
But right now we are completely buried with life. And he'll just look at me and say, eye on the ball, just keep your eye on the ball. We are going to get there. It's going to be okay. So we began the adoption process and then decided to look for a house, because I have been commuting for about 4.5 years from home to work. Because when She Reads Truth began, and the year that the organization She Reads Truth was founded, the actual month that it was founded, we closed on a house that was near my mom, right outside of Nashville.
Okay.
We'd been in the Nashville area, but we wanted to move closer to her because my dad had passed away not long before, and we were wanting a little bit of room to breathe. We had these crazy little boys who needed room to run around. But I didn't know what God was doing with She Reads Truth. I had no idea that if I looked ahead to 2018, we would have an office of 20 employees. We would have three brands that we were managing. And we just didn't know. And yeah, that's part of God's grace and kindness to us, to me and to Rachel and to our families, is that he didn't ask us to do, hey, I have this really big thing for mm-hmm. you to do. It has just been a series of small steps of obedience, and we've never really known. Like, now I feel like he's kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit and letting us see more of the trajectory.
Mm-hmm. But you've had the foundation that you can actually do it now, right?
Right. So. But if he had said, like, hey, I want you to run, I've never run a business. It was never a thing that we were trying to create. It was just small steps. And that's really how adoption happened for us too. So anyway, if you go back to where we moved, I accidentally moved an hour away from my work.
Okay.
So when we began the adoption process in 2017, we also thought, you know what? We probably shouldn't be in three different counties during the day, especially if we're adopting a child and that child happens to have like a heart condition. We don't know what that's going to look like. So we need to be closer together during the day, because we were in three different counties during the like work and school day. So we started looking for a house. We found one. It was a bit of a fixer-upper. We're like, no big deal. We will close on this house. We will go to China. They'll start renovating. We'll have people renovate the house. It'll be great. It'll be like Chip and Joanna. You know, we'll just, somebody will swoop in and make this house amazing while we're in China. You hear how crazy this sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back and we'll hopefully move in like right around when school starts. If we don't get to move in before school starts, it'll be fine. We'll commute the kids. I'm already headed down there every day. It'll be fine. So here we are. School has been in session for about 6 weeks. And we have been commuting. Our house is at least a month from being ready. And then by the time we move in, our littlest guy is going to have a pretty major surgery right after we move in. So we just need to get to New Year's Day.
Okay.
If we can just get, or to like Christmas.
Yeah.
If we can just get to Christmas, yeah, I feel like it's going to, and it will, they're all really good things. Like the fact that he's going to get to have surgery, that is a miracle and a blessing. We did not know that that was going to be the case.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a lot. So my friend Jessica Turner just released a book that I haven't gotten to read yet called Stretch Too Thin.
Of course you haven't.
Yeah,
because you're stretched too thin.
Well, that's the thing, is sitting on my nightstand with a stack of other books that are just perpetually there. And I look at that title and I think, yeah, that's what we are right now. And I feel like that's just sort of life as a mom or a dad anyway,
mm-hmm.
and a working mom too. Not that that's harder. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's logistically different. And so, yeah, I just think that like, well, we started out that way and then 2018 happened and it just sort of like continued. It's like if you're trying to get the plastic wrap to fit over the bowl and you're like, oh, I can almost make it. That's what I feel like.
Okay.
I am the plastic wrap.
Oh, well, bless your heart. That's a lot of really good things.
And I'm sort of sorry for your listeners that you asked that question, because they had to hear the whole rundown of all the things.
Well, it's a lot.
And it's like so much that I feel like you don't want to hear all that.
Yeah. But
it's,
wow,
too much.
How nice to be on the other side of that and be like, we made it through.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I can't wait for my kids to not have to wake up at 5 a.m. I just feel like it's going to be the best surprise in life, that I'll just be like, hey, guess what? You get to sleep till 6. And they're going to be like, yes, this is the best.
When we adopted my son, we had a couple hours notice. I thought I got off the adoption waiting list and I forgot that I didn't. I forgot to tell them I wasn't able to, because we had been waiting for a long time. Anyway, I was graduating from nursing school.
It's just so casual. I mean, it's fine. We had a couple hours notice.
We had put our house on the market because we were going to move to be closer to my husband's parents. I was graduating nursing school and studying for my NCLEX, the big major board exam. And then a baby boy is now our son, and he's in the NICU. So I'm like in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Our house sold in a couple days. We didn't have anywhere to live, and I'm trying to study for this test. Yeah, so I get it. And I remember thinking, none of this makes any sense, but
yeah,
we're over it and we made it.
Yeah. I'm just believing the Lord. If anyone wants to pray specifically, I am just believing the Lord that when Toby is in the hospital for a surgery, which he'll be there for a while, that it will not be us driving from outside of Nashville, inside Nashville for a surgery, and then south to Franklin for work, and then back. Like, yeah. We really need two home bases at that point. Like, I really need us to be in our house, and then we'll have the hospital, yeah. And we'll go back and forth. I really need that to be the reality.
Yeah.
If we're going to, like, make it to the other side of this. But yeah. Anyway, maybe we'll just stay where we are. You know, who knows? Maybe moving was a great idea. I'm just too tired. I'm too tired.
Oh, I know. Oh, but once you see that pretty new house, you're going to be like, never mind. I can make it.
I can do it.
You know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. But do you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/SWP. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes, no more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/SWP. That's ZipRecruiter.com/SWP. ZipRecruiter.com/SWP. ZipRecruiter. It's the smartest way to hire. Try as we may to create space in our schedule, we're busy. There are a million things demanding our time, and contact lenses should not be one of them. I'm excited to tell you about a great new company called Simple Contacts. It's making the process of renewing your prescription and buying contacts, well, simple. Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to get your contact lens prescription renewed and stock up on your contacts. Instead of taking time off, going to the doctor, you just renew your prescription online in under 5 minutes. That's how we do it in the 21st century. All you have to do is take a quick, self-guided vision test from your phone or your computer. Can you even believe that we are doing that now? It's reviewed by a doctor, and if your vision hasn't changed, you get a new prescription for contacts. Simple Contacts offers every brand of lenses, and their prices are unbeatable. Plus, the prescription is just $20. So this is not a replacement for your regular eye exams, but it is a convenient way to renew your prescription and reorder your contacts. My listeners get $20 off by going to simplecontacts.com/SWP or just use the coupon code SWP at checkout. So again, get $20 off by going to simplecontacts.com/SWP or just enter the promo code SWP at checkout. Okay, so you are passionate about Bible literacy.
I am, yeah.
And so I wanted to ask, like, how did that come about for you? I mean, first of all, yeah. We need to talk about how your middle name is literally Bible.
It is. I mean, I don't know. I just think that sometimes, you just think maybe the Lord just does things like that because he can. And it's like hilarious. And it's like, ha ha, your last name is Bible. And
oh, then, so your last name was, oh, so you made it. Your middle. Okay.
It's my maiden name.
I got it.
Yeah, it's my maiden name. So I was Amanda Bible for a long time. And it was a funny last name. I mean, in college, I had friends who called me Bible. And it just is hilarious that that is my job. And I always wanted to be a writer. I always loved words. I was passionate about words. And I thought, you know, I'd love to write one day. I don't want to be in like the Christian section of the bookstore. Like, I want to be just, I don't know. I don't want to write novels, but I want to write like nonfiction or I didn't know. But the fact that I literally had that thought of just, you know, not like the Christian section of the bookstore or not like Lifeway or whatever. And that we are not in the Christian section of the bookstore. We are like our own Christian bookstore.
Isn't that funny?
We self-publish and it is pure like Bible content. I mean, we are as dead in the center of the bullseye as you can get as far as like faith-based. We're like, oh yeah, we are faith-based. Yeah. We are Bible-based. And it's just really funny how the Lord is like, you don't know. You don't know what you want. You don't know what you're saying. You know, I always wanted to write and I wanted to write as a believer, but I wanted it to be, you know, quote, relevant. Okay. And to answer your question about how I became passionate about biblical literacy is that I discovered and continue to discover that the Bible is already relevant. It doesn't need me to catch people by surprise by packaging truth in some sort of like clever way. And like, I know that, you know, there are believers who write mainstream works of art and fiction and music and all of that. And that is amazing and wonderful. But And what we're passionate about is just inviting people to read the Bible itself. Just open the actual Bible and read what's in it. And that is how I became passionate about it, is I became passionate about it by doing it. I mean, the truth is that She Reads Truth, that God used the community of She Reads Truth, which began on Twitter, of all things, with a handful of people, just with a hashtag. That's how it started. And so it started that way, with just women who said, I want to read the Bible more. And I was one of those women who wanted to read the Bible more. So I was reading along with these women using this hashtag. And then there's a story of how the Lord integrated me into that community. But the bottom line answer is that He used She Reads Truth to show me that the Bible was for me. And for now, like, it's about Him, it's for His glory, but it is, He gave it to us to reveal Himself and for us to read. And I had somehow, even though I was raised in the church, and even though I had been a believer since I was a little girl, I somehow felt like this book, I'm touching it and holding it as I'm talking to you, that there were barriers between me and this book. And so the informal kind of She Reads Truth community of women who just sort of locked arms together and said, let's read together. Let's just open it and read. And I did that, and I felt rebellious, if I'm honest. Like, I felt like, oh, we're not using like someone's curriculum, or we're not doing. I mean, I adore Beth Moore. I adore Lisa Harper. I adore all of these women who dig into the Bible and create these amazing Bible studies that change lives. But somehow, and they never told me this, this is not their fault. Somehow I had thought that that was the only way that I could read the Bible. Or that, like, oh, in the pew on Sunday morning when the pastor opens, like, I need that man up there to open it and teach me. And that has its place too. And that is also important. But our engagement with God's word is not limited to those contexts. And so that's when I became passionate about this, is I started watching myself and the people around me in this virtual world opened their Bible, and God met them every time. And it was, we were all living different lives. I mean, my dad passed away the very month that She Reads Truth, the community, began. And so I was just in the midst of like one of the toughest / most beautiful, but beautiful because of the tough, like, seasons of my life. And then there were women who were in just a kind of a, you know, in those kind of coasting periods where, like, okay, nothing major's happening. I know probably something will at some point, but like, we're just doing our day-to-day thing, you know? And there are people across the world, like literally across oceans, who were reading, whose lives looked nothing like mine. They weren't even reading at the same time of day as me, because we have a 12-hour difference between us. But we were all reading the same passages together in our separate lives, and God was meeting us. And you know, I'd heard and I had known that God's word was true. I'd heard things like it's living and active, and I believed those things. But here I was watching it happen. And then when Rachel Myers, my business partner, my significant other, we both have husbands, but we call our husbands our spouse, and which they are, and each other our significant other. So she is my sister at this point, but we created this organization and this kind of business that we call it a business tree. It's a business. It's a ministry. It's our business tree. You have one.
I love it.
And so we just kind of took this one step after another, but we would watch. It felt like having a front row seat in this place where God was, in a way that I'd never seen Him move before. And we still feel that way. We show up to work every day, and our team shows up, and we look around, you know, we think, okay, we're inviting people to read the Bible again today. We're going to open it, and it's still going to be true. It's going to be true like it was 6 years ago. It's going to be true like it was yesterday, and like it will be tomorrow. It's, you know, it's true like it will be when we reach Christmas, like keep joking, you know, keep around the ball. Like, it's true through all of that. And it, I hesitate to use this language because I'm sure there's something heretical about it, but it almost feels like a dare with the Lord. Like, I'm going to open my Bible again today. You're still going to be there? Cool. Me too. All right, here we go. And so I'm so passionate because in these 5 years, I've learned more about Scripture, and I've watched other women and men and kids learn more about Scripture. And it is like the most beautiful puzzle, tapestry, story, like whatever analogy you want to use. it is just astounding the yeah. way that it's true, the way that it all works together, the way that the Lord uses it to speak into our lives. I've never been more excited about anything in my life than I am about watching people read the Bible.
So tell me what, for a listener who's like, okay, well, I'm glad that's getting you fired up, but doesn't do anything for me. What yeah. life change have you, like, what have you seen happen?
Oh, gosh. We have this channel on Slack called Keep Going. Highly recommend it for anyone out there who has a team, uses Slack, make a channel, call it Keep Going.
I love that.
And anytime you get encouragement in any sort of way from a variety of sources, throw it in there, share it with your team. And so the Keep Going channel just lights up a couple times a day. And yesterday it lit up and it was a really long, you know, some Keep Goings are short. Some of them are photos, whatever. This one was sort of a long one. And so I didn't read it immediately. I had to like wait till I had a minute. And it's this incredible story of this woman who was just like, you know, she was talking about her kitchen. She was like, my kitchen has seen women meet and read the Bible. It's seen, you know, study groups come and go. It's seen like, you know, meals where we've shared our struggles, et cetera. It saw me to a marriage. Then 10 years later, that marriage fell apart. And then I'm back in this kitchen. So I guess like she had moved, you know, moved away from this house, moved back. And now she lives there with another woman, their roommates, whose marriage also fell apart. And she's like, and now my roommate and my housemate and I are reading, she reads Truth, our, you know, the email hits our inboxes at like 5 a.m. and we'll text each other. Can you believe what the reading is today and how it applies? Like they're just in awe of God's word. And that is so the story of that's my story of like through all the different phases of life, God's word has been true for me. And it's not that like, oh, when my dad was passing away over the course of 2 years, I finally understood the Bible, so then it meant something to me. It wasn't that. It was that I just started opening it more regularly, and then I began to more fully understand what it is and how he can use it, because he did it for me. And then Rachel's story is so totally different than mine, but there's that same thread where, like, you know, she lost a baby at, you know, like 30 something weeks, and she had to deliver that baby and bury that baby. And there are so many women listening to this who have done the same thing. And she had memorized scripture as a girl, as a young girl, and she would wake up remembering that scripture. And then that really like pulled her back in to just opening her Bible over and over again. And there were, you know, people in her life who knew that after the baby was gone, she couldn't open her Bible. So she had friends who did it for her and read scripture over her. And like what I want women to understand and what I'm so passionate about is that it's not about you who are like, I hear the passion in your voice, but I don't have that same passion. And we feel ashamed of that because I felt ashamed of that. And there are seasons in my life now where I feel shame that I don't run home and open my Bible, but it's my job. And so fortunately, the Lord uses it every day, even in my work, to remind me of what is true. And so the reason I'm so passionate about it is that it's not about me getting to the place where somehow I magically understand that God's word is for me and that it's true and that he's good and that he doesn't change. The thing is that is accurate all the time. My only job is to look down and open it and read it. And so it's not a, you should be doing this. It's a, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You, whoever you are, right where you are, if you've read scripture from cover to cover, or if you've never cracked open a Bible in your life and you're just like, no way, it's too big, I don't understand it, whatever, I dare you. The thing is you can, and you are invited to. Mm-hmm. And when you open it, it's not going to be all fireworks for you, but God has promised to meet us. Like, this is what it's for. It is here so we can meet him and know him. And so he will do that for you, and it will look different for you than it did for me.
But equally powerful and life-changing.
100%. Yeah. And you don't, you know, we're really passionate at She Reads Truth about reading like full books of the Bible, because I think a lot of times we feel like, okay, I should read like this chunk of verses and I should really dig in and understand them. And you, that's great. Do that. But also you can sit down and read the Bible like you read a novel, and you don't have to understand it all as you're reading. It's okay. Because just like when you're reading a novel, there are things that you read three chapters back that really won't make sense to you until you get toward the end. And that's all right. It doesn't mean that you should stop reading because you don't understand it. It just press on and keep reading, because the whole thing is this beautifully intricate story.
So I want to say thank you so much to Natural Red, one of the sponsors of today's podcast. Natural Red was started by a mom named Karen who wanted to make sure that she was putting the very best stuff on her skin and the skin of her family. So when she found herself a divorced and single mom of several kids, she decided to turn it into a business to help the rest of us. There's a really yummy smelling hand sanitizer that I keep in my purse. My husband uses the beard oil that she sent. He is constantly trying to grow that beard down to his belly button, and I am constantly threatening that it needs to not get that far. But the beard oil helps it be amazing no matter the length. All of Karen's products are made with essential oils and natural ingredients and are 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Karen wants you to love her products too, so go to naturalredessentials.com. Use coupon code SWP and you'll get 15% off your order. So again, that's naturalredessentials.com. Coupon code SWP. So for somebody who they're not familiar with She Reads Truth, how is what you're doing different than the teachers you were talking about earlier who...
Yeah. My left. They're amazing. Okay.
Oh, so yeah, totally. I'm just saying, how is She Reads Truth different?
Right. So what we do, because just how we were in the same place where we thought, okay, I want to read scripture more. I feel like I should read scripture more. I want to know God. Where do I start? So our mission at She Reads Truth is women in the Word of God every day, which means anytime you come to our app, our website, our daily emails, like we are reading scripture every day so that anyone who desires to read and just needs a little direction or just needs a little company, like I just need people to read with me, you can come there and jump in anytime and we are reading. And so what we do is we do what we call Bible reading plans. And so we will read through books of the Bible, or we will read through scripture on certain biblical topics. So we read through these books of the Bible or through these biblical topics. But what we do when we read through Hebrews, for example, we will read straight through the book with portions each day. But then we will also bring in passages from other parts of scripture, because when you start to understand how scripture connects to itself and how you can use parts of the Bible to understand other parts of the Bible, it really starts to come together and you start to get fired up. Like you start to get excited that it's that kind of experience of like these like light bulbs and these connections. And we'll do a study for the season of Advent, which is a season on the church calendar, which is basically about 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, which is all about preparing for the arrival of Jesus. So preparing to celebrate Christ's birth. And what does that mean? Like preparing our hearts. Some people prepare their homes, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, so that's what we do at She Reads Truth. We just try to equip women and men to read God's word and begin to understand it for themselves.
Okay. And in your app, there's like ways for people to communicate with each other, right? Like comments and things like that.
Yeah. They can comment, they can have conversations. It is one of the most grace-filled places on the internet, which... They truly, like, it is women, it is such an ecumenical space where there are women from all different backgrounds, all levels of familiarity with scripture, and they ask each other questions. They'll talk about what confuses them or what encourages them. They pray for one another. It's really beautiful. Through time, like, there will be, you know, we all are always as a community actively going through one of these reading plans, but you can also go back and read any of the previous library of reading plans. So if you're like, I just really want to read James, well, we have a reading plan on the book of James, and you can commute, you can like leave comments and have a conversation with women who happen to be reading it now as well. Or even like you can hop into conversations that happened a year ago when we read the plan. So it's just a really neat and encouraging and welcoming space to read the Bible. There's not an idol of like, oh, this is what a quiet time should look like. Mm. Like that's between you and the Lord, what your time with him looks like. It might not be quiet at all, but that doesn't mean that you have to wait to open your Bible until your house is quiet. That's not true. That's a lie, I would say.
Well, and so is the fact that, you know, you can't understand the Bible, or the Bible's not for 2018, or it's all lies.
Absolutely. things that we tell ourselves or that maybe other people have told us, or maybe they've just implied, maybe they don't even know they're implying it. Mm-hmm. But there are things that have convinced us that we're either not qualified to read the Bible, we're not equipped to read the Bible, or that maybe the Bible is not important, or maybe it's important, but it's not urgent. I'll get to it later.
For sure.
And the more we read and the more we watch women and men read, the more we realize that, oh, it's all of those things. It is urgent. It is important. And it's for us.
Yeah. So you have printed resources, but also the app.
Yeah. So you can engage in a lot of different ways, which is handy because all of our lives look super different. So we do create printed resources, which is just a place we put all of the scripture in the books. The scripture is actually the focal point of the printed books. And then we provide what we call extras. They're like theological kind of charts or timelines or maps, or maybe we, there's also art. Sometimes there's recipes.
Your stuff is so beautiful.
Our design team, our creative team is just phenomenal and really on like, you know, kind of trend setting. Like they know what's beautiful. They know how to make things that are compelling and engaging. And for every single reading plan we do, we have a study book, one for the women, one for the men, sometimes one for the kids. And every time the content team and the design team, we approach that anew. There's not a plug and play template that we use. We never know going into those vision meetings for that particular plan and those particular books, what it's going to look like, what's going to be in it. Other than the scripture, you know, we're like, if I'm a reader, what do I need? So we just sort of go first, compile all the things that we feel like are helpful for the person encountering this book, and then we give them all the tools they need to read through it. And that's what the study books are. They're beautiful. I mean, they're books that you can feel proud to like leave out on your coffee table.
Oh, yeah.
And invite friends into. They're beautiful. So we also have the app, which was newly redesigned not too long ago. There are free reading plans to use there. You can get, you know, choose a reading plan that you want to buy and go through. They're like 99 cents or $1.99, depending like on what you're looking at. Or you can do a subscription where you just get all the content all the time. It's available to you anytime you want to read it. You can also go on the website or subscribe to the email. Those things are completely free all the time. Anyone can read with the community at no cost. So my mom gets the email, and that's how she engages. The books, there is sometimes a misconception that you need the book to read with the community, and that is not true.
Okay.
That's what we do, and we're revamping the guys' website or the guys' app soon, and that'll be releasing really soon, which is exciting. And they're getting a Bible soon too. Bible came out a little over a year ago, and the He Reads Truth Bible is going to come out in 2019. So we're super excited about that.
I have been seeing those Bibles. My friends have them at church, and I just think if stealing wasn't wrong, they're just gorgeous.
You know what? I bet we can get one in your hands somehow. They are so pretty. The problem is choosing which one, because there are five covers and they're all amazing.
Yeah. I love that like peachy poppy colored one. I don't
know
why.
The poppy one is fantastic. And the hardcover ones are so pretty. You know, if you're going to carry it to and from church and that kind of thing, sometimes the soft cover ones are a little more practical, but the cloth overboard hardcovers, they're so pretty with the like gold foil.
I know it. Okay. So your Advent stuff comes out when, so people can get ready for that?
Pre-orders start really early. The pre-orders start the very beginning of October. So I'm not sure when people will be hearing this, but it'll probably be available when they hear this.
Okay. Yeah.
We start planning our Advent study and our Advent book in like June, July. And so we light Christmas candles. We put up Christmas lights. We play Christmas music. We do the whole nine, and we like get in the mode.
Okay.
So it's so fun. So the book is always, I mean, this year it is this like red paper cover with gold foil letter. It's so beautiful. And the recipes, like there's a cookie recipe in there that will be a problem. I apologize in advance. It's so good. And there are crafts. There's a cross stitch that's just gorgeous. There are some other crafts in there. It's so fun. And then the He Reads Truth Advent book has some really kind of cool dude-friendly recipes. And there's even a craft for them. They don't have to call it a craft. It's art. They're creating art out of tree stumps. It's ridiculous. It's so cool. It involves a blowtorch. So
then they're in.
Gather round, guys, and an axe, possibly, if you have to cut down your own tree. Yeah, and then the kids, we did a book, a story and scripture book for Kids Read Truth called This is the Gospel that released earlier this year. It is the first time that we did like a book, you know, it's like the storybook that you keep and your kids read at night. And so there's one called This is the Christmas Story. And so that is our Advent and Christmas product for kids. And it is beautiful. It involves a lot of like metallic ink inside. There's a lot of gold. There's a lot of scripture. Those books are unique because it tells the Christmas story, first of all, in a full Bible context. Okay. So one of the lines in it and says that the Christmas story didn't begin with a baby. It began with a promise. Mm. And so it talks about, you know, Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises to his people. And it's just really beautiful. I'm super, super excited about that. So those are our Christmas products. And yeah, they should all be available as you're hearing this. And you can bundle together like the different things that you want for your family. And then the Advent itself starts this year on December 2nd. That's the first Sunday of Advent.
Okay, so I want to now do a lightning round where I ask you a bunch of questions.
Oh gosh, I'm so nervous about this, Emily, because I am, we've talked about Enneagram. I'm sorry to beat the Enneagram drum. I'm a 9.
Yes.
And when you force me to make a decision, you're not forcing me. When the world forces me to state a preference or make a decision, it is like, so I feel like this is an emotional exercise. So I'm ready.
You can do this.
I can do this.
I will support you as a 1 who is totally great making decisions. My husband's a 9, so I feel your pain.
Okay.
I live with your pain. I'm just kidding. Okay. This should not be hard. What are 3 things that you remember about kindergarten?
Oh, gosh. I remember my hair. I always parted my bangs in the middle.
Nice.
My brother called it the butt cut. I'm sorry to say that on your podcast, but he called it that. And he still calls it that when he looks back at pictures. My best friend's name was Emily. How about that?
It's beautiful.
Her name was Emily. Yeah, Emily Randall. She was just the sweetest.
Of course she was.
Had long, dark hair. And I will also tell you that when I was in elementary school, so including kindergarten, we had a woman called the Bible Lady who would come to school, public school, mind you, and felt boards in tow, and she would tell us Bible stories using felt boards in our public school.
How about that?
Isn't it great?
How sweet is that Bible Lady?
That's never going to happen again in the world, but man, I just think back and I'm like, oh, I didn't know how sweet and special that was.
That is so good. So, who would play you in a movie of your life?
It's a great question. I don't know that this is accurate. The first person that came to mind, and I can explain why, is Charlize Theron, and here's why.
Okay.
Because one time I let a friend, if you're listening, dear Lynn, you know this story, who she cut my hair once, and we had a really hard time getting it even. It was a trim. It ended up being so short that I finally just had to get it like professionally, like, you know, corrected.
Yeah.
And so it was during Sweet November time of year. I don't remember, like, so this would have been like 2001. And Charlize Theron had that really like short, curly, blonde haircut.
Yes.
And my hair was blonder at the time, naturally, which is just, it's not anymore. It's fine. And so that's the only time in my life that people have ever like said that I resembled a celebrity, but it wasn't me. It was just the hair, and it wasn't intentional. It was a really kind of sad/hilarious accident. So anyway,
that's so funny.
I feel like you should tell me who should play me because I have no idea.
I am so bad at this. I don't even
see, right? Me too. That's why you ask other people.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah. I know. That's this isn't about me.
It's not. Sorry, I don't get to ask the questions. It's fine.
Okay, so do you sleep with your sheets tucked in at the bottom or out?
Okay, so combination. In at the very bottom.
Okay.
Out at the sides. So if you're asking just about the bottom of the bed, like the foot of the bed,
yes,
they have to be in down there or they will be off of the bed.
Okay.
But they have to be open at the sides.
Okay.
Because I have to be able to put my leg out.
Got
so
it.
I like to have just like a leg, like one leg out.
Yes. Okay.
Because it's like a temperature calibration thing. Like,
for sure.
I'm too hot with all the covers. I'm too cool without the covers. I don't like just a sheet because it's not heavy enough.
Yeah.
So I like to have all the covers up. But if I'm too hot, I just stick out a leg.
Just the one leg. Yeah. My husband is anti-tuck and I'm pro-tuck. And so it...
Man, how do you do that?
Well, he just untucks his side. It messes everything up.
Yeah. But then by the morning, I mean, do you just have all the sheets on your side?
Yeah, I don't really know what it must not be.
Does he untuck his side on the foot too?
Yeah, the whole he's a no tuck, and I'm a pro tuck. And I love not only the heaviness of like a blanket, but like and a quilt. So I'm so hot, but the heaviness I need.
I get it.
Yeah,
yeah. So. We got on the duvet train, you know, several years ago.
Yeah.
About the same time that we upgraded to a king bed, which
I want that so bad.
I mean, do you not have a king bed yet?
No, I've got a twin. I'm an animal. It's terrible.
Okay, you're going to... Wait, you have a twin?
Oh, sorry, queen. We're not sleeping in the same bed. It's a whole nother situation. Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, but still, I mean, if your room will... Now, some people... I understand that some people like the proximity.
I really
do love my husband, but I don't necessarily want to have to touch him all the time. Like, I like to sleep.
Yeah. My husband recently had shoulder surgery, so he's been sleeping in a recliner. And so now he's trying to come back in the bed. And I'm like, do you have, because he falls asleep before me. So then he's snoring and then I can't sleep and he's so close.
Maybe you do need a twin bed.
It's one bed.
Because I thought I had just stumbled into like a marriage secret there and didn't mean to. But like, maybe you should.
Oh, man. Okay. So what celebrity chef would you most like to fix you a meal?
Can I confess to you that I don't know celebrity chefs?
Okay.
That's sorry. Fine. The only ones I know, I don't feel passionate about like meeting.
But like having them cook for you. You don't have to meet them.
Having them cook for me.
Like even Paula Deen or the Pioneer Woman or...
Oh, okay. I mean, I'll go Paula Deen. She's Southern, super Southern.
So much butter.
We're going to fry some things. Yep. We're going to have some biscuits and butter.
No, that seems good.
I feel like that's safe. And I feel like there would be some kind of a pie involved.
Hopefully.
And I'm very pro pie, so.
One of my questions that I did not ask you was cake or pie. So you would say pie.
I would say both. I think if I had to choose, I would choose pie. But I love them both with my whole heart.
What kind of pie?
Truly like a cobbler.
Okay.
I don't know if that counts as a pie.
I don't think so. Okay. So what is something you can't stop talking about right now? Final question.
I'm probably going to have to say, I'm trying to think of what the most honest answer is. So truthfully, probably our commute, which I'm not going to talk about right now. Oh, and my son. If you ask me about our newly adopted son, like I cannot stop. However, Lauren Daigle's new CD, new record. I can't quit that record. And it doesn't help that like the child who only speaks partly English, like he sings it with me. And so he'll be like, rise up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't. This is so sweet. It's so good.
It is.
I appreciated her first record. I don't know, but this one just completely caught me off guard.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to be soulful I just didn't know what was about to happen when I pushed play.
Even her picture on the front with that head wrap, yes. I'm like,
Jeremy
stop
did that photo. And I'm just like,
who did it?
Jeremy Cowart. He's local here in Nashville and he is a fantastic photographer. But everything about it, I feel like it is a fantastic example of excellent Christian art, like gospel fueled art. 5 stars. Yeah. I think she did great.
It's fantastic. So. I love that. Oh, man. All right, Amanda, we are out of time. Thank you for sharing all this. Thank you for opening the Bible and doing what you do every day.
For doing what you do. I've been listening and I've been encouraged and it's fun to remember that we may all be in our separate homes and states and lives and countries, but we're, you know, there are little threads that connect us and you're one of those threads. So I'm thankful.
I love that. Thanks for listening. always fun to talk to Amanda. So what is your strategy going to be to struggle well based on what Amanda said? Well, in the area of family, this holiday season, I would really recommend the Advent materials. They have come to my house. They're gorgeous, just as gorgeous as she said. I will be showing those on my Insta stories so you can see how gorgeous they are. So maybe you struggle well this week by ordering those for your family from She Reads Truth. In the area of sanctuary, Amanda decided to move closer to work to kind of make family life less chaotic. Maybe you don't need to do anything that dramatic, but maybe you can build a sense of sanctuary into your home by getting your Christmas shopping done early so you can really enjoy the holidays. Or maybe if dinner is stressing you out lately, you can make your home more of a sanctuary by declaring that the children can fend for themselves one night a week. I mean, if they're old enough to do that, obviously. But they think it's amazing to be able to make their own choices, and you can just take a load off for a little bit. In the area of spirituality, maybe you do kind of tend to lean on Bible studies created by people. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but what if you were to join a She Reads Truth Bible study plan and just actually read the Bible for yourself? If you have been listening for any amount of time, you know that's what I think would be a really great idea for you. I personally have found the most growth in my own spiritual life when I open the Bible and let God talk to me directly. Do me a favor and share this episode with a friend who needs to hear it. If you love the show, I'm sure that she will too. And if she doesn't like the show, you don't need friends like that anyway. Your recommendations mean the world to me, so thank you for sharing this podcast. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button on your podcast app to make sure you don't miss next week when I talk to Knox McCoy about pop culture and his faith. Knox and Jamie's podcast, The Popcast, is one of the few podcasts that I never miss. So you're going to want to tune into that next week. When you shop on Amazon this week, make sure to use the Struggle Well Project affiliate link. It's simple and it costs you nothing. That link is amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. If you bookmark that link and use it when you shop, you'll never even have to think about it again. Also, don't forget to join me on the socials at Struggle Well Project. It's not just me there, though. You'll be joining a gaggle of other women just like you who are working on the Struggle Well Project called Life. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for your precious word that you have left for us to know you better. It is a love letter that you left for us. And if we read it, we are changed forever. Lord, I pray for these sisters, some of whom don't feel like they have the time, or they don't feel maybe like they're going to get anything out of it. Maybe they don't feel like they're smart enough to understand what is even going on sometimes. God, thank you that you reveal yourself to us when we take that small step of obedience to just do a little digging to know you better. God, thank you that we don't have to be a certain amount of educated. We don't have to be a certain amount of well-rested. Thankfully, you will take us any way that you can get us, and you will bring us into a deeper relationship with you. So, Lord, I just ultimately pray that these sweet ladies would get a taste of that and would develop a thirst for knowing you more, because it will change everything. And also, Lord, would you just please help Amanda in this crazy disaster she's found herself in with all the moving and all the transition and all the medical stuff? I pray that you would carry them through to New Year's. In Jesus' name, amen.